Join us on the Women Acquire an Asset podcast and learn the stepping stones to things like home ownership, investment properties, college reduction, cryptocurrency, insurance strategies, savings, stocks, and so much more. Let's grow our networks together. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the next edition of Women Acquiring Assets. I'm your host, Annika Jackson, and I'm here with the one and only Kristen Fenrick. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Annika. How are you?
Good. This is so fun. We work together, so this is fun to get to interview you for Women Acquiring Assets and talk about our journeys. So, you know a little bit. You actually participated in the first Women's Inflection Point Conference as a vendor with your jewelry there for Clearly Kristen. And we had met when you first moved to Houston a few years ago. And the first night we met, we talked about your jewelry line that you were going to start and the different things. And I was like, yeah, this is great. And we kind of kept in touch and then we lost touch and we got back in touch. And it's been an amazing journey. And I feel like we've both been through a lot of the things that women who are part of this movement have been going through, right? Transition, whether it's work, relationships, we've had our ups and downs. So I'd love to talk about that a little bit and talk about your journey going from education and tech to jewelry.
Yes. So thank you so much for having me on today, Annika. I think for me, what's been the best about our relationship is the fact that we have seen each other through many different stages of our lives, both professionally and personally. And we've just seen the different things that we go through as women, you know? Mm-hmm. We can't predict life. I was talking to someone earlier about that. Like, we can't predict the things that are going to happen to us. We just have to be able to ride the waves as they come and be able to move past those walls or different things that happen to us to keep moving forward so we can, as your podcast talks about, acquiring assets, whether those assets be personal peace, whether that be professional and career happiness, whether that be just anything in life. We just want to be able to continue to push forward to be able to get there.
So talk about that. Talk about your transition. How did you decide to go from having a day job, if you will, working for somebody else? You know, you worked across multiple states, education, and then you completely pivoted to this other industry.
So I am originally an educator, right? Mm-hmm. So I started off, I graduated from college and started off with to being a teacher. Was so excited about that career choice and was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to change the world through education.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to empower kids' lives, you know? And I taught in the classroom for a couple of years, about 3 to 5 years. And I was recruited to get into sales through someone who had a Xerox agency. I was actually at home with my youngest son, who's now 18.
Oh,
actually, he's 19 and in college, right? So it was like, well, what do you think, Kristen? What do you think about doing sales? You know, teachers make the best salespeople.
Mm.
So I started, yeah, which is true.
I never would have thought that,
sales,
but yeah.
Right?
You're selling to kids all day.
Right. So I made that first initial leap. So instead of going back to teaching full time after being off with my youngest son, I went into sales instead and started off working with a Xerox agency and then actually ended up owning my own agency.
Yeah.
Was very successful with that. Covered the entire Southeast, really had my area was in the Southeast, but that territory in the Atlanta area was so amazing. Ended up having the best growth ever. And
oh,
I was hooked. Like, I was addicted from there. That was it. I wanted to do sales full time with everything. So that was my first foray into business ownership also.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot about being a business owner and the back end part of what it's like to manage a sales team, mm-hmm. and what it's like to have all of these different areas of your business that have to be taken care of, everything from paying invoices and making sure that vendors are taken care of, all the way to payroll, to managing multiple streams from different things that are going on. So that was my first initial into like, I love this. So now I get to combine sales and business and I'm doing education and teaching. And so that was back in 2000, like the mid-2000s, around 2006. And then we had our first financial, like, big crisis in 2000. And so a lot of my small business owners that were my customers and, you know, very loyal customers began to pull back. And a lot of those purchases they would have made, capital purchases, were like, we'll just kind of like let it ride out. We'll, you know, let our lease, you know, kind of, we'll just buy out our lease. And it was like, uh-oh.
Yep.
So I made a very strategic move at that point and decided to change what I was doing. And it just, it made a lot of sense. That was my first thing into like figuring out what it's like to have your assets kind of look on how you shift things around. Right. How do you go from this place to that? And that was a very unusual season, but we survived it and we thrived and made it through that one. And so after that, I was kind of like, well, I really still love sales. Sales is amazing. You know, my agency had just grown exponentially. So I knew that there were some other things that I still wanted to do. So I went into tech sales. And my first tech sales was a merger between education and technology. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
oh,
this is a perfect fit. This is a perfect fit. So now I was doing that, was very, very successful with that, was one of very few women, let alone African-American women. I think I was probably one. They may have only been one other African-American in this entire big, huge, I won't even mention the name of the company, very big educational software company. And I did extremely well, but it was a lot of work and time away. Mm-hmm. And I'm a mother.
Yeah.
My children, I was a single mom at the time. And it was, I was on the road. I remember counting 1 year, I was on the road for about 270 days.
Gosh, how did you do that? How did you do it?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It was like I lived in a hotel. I mean, I would go home to like change out the clothes in my suitcase.
Yeah.
Like that was a home for a day or two to flip my suitcase.
So you had to have a lot of help at home too. You had to
My oldest son at the time had graduated from high school. He was in doing some classes and stuff. And so he actually, you know, was the one that was watching my younger kids
for
me because I was a single mom. And one of the biggest things, that's why I love this podcast that we're here about, because one of the biggest lessons I had to teach my children was we have to decide which one we're going to have. Mm. You know, like I can go on the road and make money, but you're not going to have me home.
Right.
Or I can be home and doing all the things that you guys want me to do and our money, I don't, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's a decision.
It's really, it's very tough. When I got divorced and went back to the workplace, you know, to a workplace that I had to be at for a certain number of hours every day and whatever, it was really hard. And knowing that my daughter was going to have to stay after school and that sometimes she was one of the last kids picked up, you know, it was like heart-wrenching for me, but that is many people's reality. And I mean, when I was growing up, my mom was a single mom and I was a latchkey kid. I had to get my brother from kindergarten, walk home, make sure he had a snack, do our homework, whatever, until she got home. And it's not easy for the parent or the child, I think, to learn. But you do learn a lot of skills as a kid having to go through that.
You do. My boys are super independent. I mean, they're the best young men, and they are super independent. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why I tell the story of my friend who, so I was in software sales and I had another friend and we were both at the time in these like crazy relationships and she was married and had, you know, her two boys and she was spending just as much time on the road as I was because we're out there chasing dollars, right? Mm-hmm. We're trying to make money. And she had, big plans to want to leave and like restart her life. And so it was like these deals that she was working on that were keeping her gone. And it just was, she had to make a choice between she had left home and had left her house and had moved out from her situation with her husband and was living with her mom, and the kids were with her mom. And so he started saying, and this was her husband at the time, well, I'm just going to get custody of the kids because you're never around anyway. Ooh. And, you know, we're going to just have to go this custody battle. And she was like, well, I'm just going to quit my job.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just going to go back home. I'm just going to do what he wants me to do. Oh. Because I don't know how to make a decision between what I'm doing right now and how I can balance this out. And that decision proved fatal because she went back home, and the next call I got 6 weeks later, he had killed her. He murdered her and murdered himself and killed himself and murdered her. And, you know, that was a hard decision she had to make because she had to decide, like, how am I going to take care of these boys and still be home and still be this, you know, she just couldn't figure it out. And so that was really the catalyst for me to take what was a hobby initially when I first started Clearly Kristen to really wanting to take it to be a real global brand and really become the business that I wanted it to become so that I could be able to be on the other side of helping other women, helping other entrepreneurs, helping other people not have to make such life gut-wrenching decisions, right? To be able to have some sort of work-life balance, to be able to, you know, create whatever income that they want to. So a lot of those things I'm still working on right now today, but I do see my dream coming true and the reality of being able to be a leader in the business world, even if it's just that my voice is heard and people are beginning to recognize and acknowledge the issues that we have going on.
Yeah.
Women's Inflection Point is a nonprofit, educational, and results-driven entity providing women a success path to reach maximum potential in each of their life cycle stages. Women's Inflection Point focuses on three tiers of Maslow's hierarchy of needs pyramid: human wellness, safety, and self-actualization. In other words, we focus on your health, your money, and yourself. An inflection point is an event that results in dramatic and significant change. Our mission is to facilitate occurrences of inflection points that activate unleashed potential to propel women to reach their maximum potential in all aspects of their life. These occurrences are delivered at events throughout the year in organic and diverse, inclusive environments. For more information, visit us at www.womeninflectionpoint.org.
Using all of these tools that you've learned by being a teacher, by being in sales, you know, and so you were in ed tech and you finally decided to take a leap. You had your side hustle of Clearly Kristen Jewelry. And I mean, the first day I met you, you were already talking about where you saw the brand going and growing. And we were able to do some of that together. And I really saw you take off and go to Fashion Week in Paris and New York. And, you know, really start working on the other parts of your brand that talk to what you're talking about with your friend, being able to help provide income for other women to help them become financially solvent and not have to make those choices, and your other brand extensions. So talk a little bit more about Clearly Kristen, because I remember you were going to classes all the time. I mean, you were in it to win it.
Yes. So the story behind all of that, and I don't even know if I've told you this, Annika. When I first got serious about Clearly Kristen, I was talking to everybody about it. I'm like, I'm going to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. And I met an investor who was interested in the business, right? Part of the business is this automated retail idea that I've had for years. Mm-hmm. By the way, the packaging today has just arrived.
Oh my gosh, it's so exciting.
Yes. So anyway, so exciting. And so I had this investor that was like, oh, this is great. Let's talk. And so I was like, dancing, this is 2016. I'm like, I'm going to go to this meeting. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this. I'm going to make this thing happen. We're going to get this off the ground. Boom, boom, boom. So flash forward, I had all my little pretty shiny paperwork ready and I was sitting down. I'm like, I'm going to make this work. And the investor team, the group was like, we love you. We think this is great. But nobody knows who you are. Like, you don't have a brand. And it was like the most heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching moment for me because I knew they were right, right? You're sitting there and it's like, so they said to me, go and build a brand and then come back to us. That way people will know who you are and what you do. And so that's what I set in motion for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's why I've been behind the scenes everywhere. That's why I've been working like tirelessly, getting my brand name out there and letting people know who I am and letting them know my vision and really building a name behind Clearly Kristen so that it's not just this dream anymore,
right,
but it's something that's a reality and it's actually a bankable reality and something that people can actually stand behind and see.
I love this. So hold that thought. We're going to come right back after this commercial break with Clearly Kristen, Kristen Fenrick. Welcome back to Women Acquiring Assets. I'm your host, Annika Jackson. And again, we are here with Kristen Fenrick of Clearly Kristen, Inc., talking about her journey and the pivots that she's gone through in life, whether it's been relationships and with business, and to realize her dream of having her jewelry and accessory business and all of the different things. So you started out, you went, met with investors, realized that you needed to build up your brand. You spent a few years, you were in stores, doing fashion shows, going behind the scenes, being at, you know, New York Fashion Week, Paris Fashion Week, getting your name out there. And so now I heard you were saying a little bit about automated retail. You also have a TV show. You also, like, what, talk about some of the different brand extensions you've done, because I think this is a really, this is something that comes up time and time again in this podcast, is you have to build your brand. It doesn't matter what the business is or what you're trying, you have to realize who you are, be willing to tell your story and share it and use that to build your brand, and actually using video. And so to that point, you do a lot of Facebook Lives, and you also now have a TV show and Style with Clearly Kristen.
Yes, that is definitely a dream come true. And, you know, this is when, what they say is when opportunity, preparation meets opportunity, right? That's where you get success. And so I have been just meeting all types of people, right? Relationships. So my business coach always says relationships are the currency of life. Right? That's how I'm sitting here right now with the lovely Annika Jackson, right? It's relationships. So when I really started to see my brand take off was when I started to pivot a lot of these relationships and started to figure out where people fit in my life, right? So it's like all of these different puzzles, you know, all these different people, all these different circles, and you're trying to figure out like, how can this thing here, this relationship here, make that happen? So I actually got an opportunity to be on a new network called the Promote Her Network to do a television show. The show is called In Style with Clearly Kristen, and it is a show to help fashion, business, and beauty entrepreneurs tell their story. Mm-hmm. So why we've been in the midst of this COVID crisis, what we've identified is a lot of smaller entrepreneurs really have lost their voice, right? They've not really had that opportunity to get it out to the public to say, hey, this is why you should buy what I have. Or now they've gone from being someone that maybe just had a mom and pop store locally in their neighborhood to now being online, and now they need people to know who they are. And that is what the show is all about. It's all about taking those entrepreneurs that have a great product, a great service, that are able to scale national, are able to provide their products and services to different marketplaces. And this show gives them a platform for them to tell their story. So you can really find out who they are, find out how their business started, find out the struggles that they went through, and most importantly, find out their successes, and then find out where you can see them, right? Exactly. Find their website and their different information so you can shop their brand or even just further investigate them and look into them. So it's been a great journey. Some of the other things that we've been doing with Clearly Kristen is we're beginning our automated retail journey, which is a nice way of saying jewelry vending machines. we are getting those, and we'll have those placed by holiday time.
That's amazing.
We also have, it's super amazing because that was the beginning of this dream back in 2014 when I first saw my first vending machine that was at the time doing cosmetics. And I was like, I should do this. I should do this. I've got to do this. And the jewelry came into my mind back then. So it's super exciting. I'm very excited. It's a dream come true. And it's just a lot of hard work in the background for the last couple of years, just just really just continuing to build who I am, build my brand, and let people know who we are, what we do, and why we're doing what we do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, all of that is so important. It's my number one thing I think that we talk about is being willing to share your story and talk about that and talk about the struggles and the why you're really doing this. So it's not just about making women and, you know, men look beautiful with your jewelry or having great gifts to give, but also helping people through what you're doing and using all of that business acumen that you've stored up from your other businesses. So I know that it's also, you're somebody who I look to as a person who knows how to balance things. You work all the time, but you also take time to take walks and speak to God, to get, you know, to do prayer groups, to find, to be able to still connect with your spirituality, you know, and your physical health and your mental well-being. So what are some recommendations that you make for entrepreneurs to make sure that you have that, you put that time into your schedule and you're creating some, you know, I don't know that balance is real, but some balance in your life?
So thank you so much for asking that, because right before we got on this podcast, that's what I was up doing. Oh. I do a walk every day. Like my mind, I have to do that to clear my mind, right? So part of my team is on the West Coast. And part of my team is here, like East Coast and Central Time. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I have two parts of my day. So I usually around 1 or 2 o'clock every day, and this is outside of my lunch. So I have my normal lunch break, but I take time to literally put my headphones on and I go out and I walk. It's probably about a mile and a half around. And it is the most peaceful, serene moment. I am able to talk with God. I can see, okay, this is what's been going on this morning, kind of give me some insight and balance on what I need to do this afternoon, you know, order my steps so that I'm clear in mm-hmm. my journey, clear in what my focus should be. I use that time just to kind of just step back and just loose off. I also started to do journaling, mm-hmm. and that is something I do in the evening time before I leave. And it's kind of a new thing where I'll get out my Bible and it's like I take that time to write out scriptures and just kind of sit back and just ruminate on the day. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to leave my computer behind.
Oh, right? Wow. Good job.
Yeah, not all the time though, so I'm not going to tell that story. But yes, where it's like, okay, let me just close this. Let me literally go home and just be for a couple hours, mm-hmm. you know, because the morning comes quickly.
Yes.
And it's been good to just kind of center. We do go, you know, 1,000 miles per hour. During the pandemic, I've been probably twice as busy mm-hmm. as I was even before the pandemic, just doing different things. So instead of running around town and being at events and, you know, networking that way, I'm networking and doing all of that stuff just online.
Yeah.
So it's been really great in terms of me just like being able to identify more what my real work style is. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's very, very, very important for entrepreneurs and just people even in the workforce to do is identify your work style. And when you identify your work style, don't deviate from it for other people, right? If that's your work style, follow your work style. That way you're going to be the most successful in getting your work done every day.
So is that something that is in a book? Is that, yeah. So how do you find your work style?
So, well, for me, I had to figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. So I probably need to figure it out on paper so I can write a book about your work style.
100%, 100%, absolutely.
Next book. But, for me, it is about knowing like this is the routine that works for me, mm-hmm. right? Other people, that's not their routine. And so this is the next level of it. If you're a business owner or you manage people, you have to be willing to manage people and let them do their work style, right?
Yes.
Because if you don't, you're not going to get the best out of them.
Hi, this is Annika Jackson. At Annika PR, we provide public relations strategy, content marketing, and brand and design services. We are gifted with the ability to draw excitement to an event, brand, or concept. Don't just take our word for it. See our clients' work in Forbes, CNN, Amazon TV shows, and much more. Want your brand amplified? Go to AnikaPR.com. That's AnikaPR.com.
This is another theme that comes up, and I think it's really important to acknowledge this as a leader, is that you have an end goal. You have to trust your team to get there. They might not do it the way that you would do it. And you kind of have to take a step back because otherwise you don't want to micromanage. You step in when necessary, but you let them use, again, like you're saying, their own work style to get it done. And who knows what they, how they do it might come up with other creative ideas that you would not have even thought about or realized if you had done it just your way.
Absolutely. Now you have to set goals and you have to set metrics and you have to have accountability and you have to know, have to let people know that they're valued and appreciated and that you hear their voice. All of those things have to come into play, right? It is, then within that, you have to let people create what works for them. Mm-hmm. Now, another challenge, you know, when you are a creative person that now has to be in a managerial role, right? Is sometimes, it's not even sometimes, you have to be willing to step back and take your creative hat off for a little bit and go, okay, guys, this is what needs to be done. So I have to be the one that's not fun. Yeah. Right? When there's times when I just want to be fun. I just want to go dance, right? I want to wear my rain boots in the summertime. And, but you have to be willing to do that. And so, and it's the same thing if you're a very regimented person that now wants to add a creative element to your company and to your business. Well, you have to be willing to step into those shoes that are very uncomfortable for you.
Right.
Right? And do that thing that may not feel to you normal, but that thing may be what will take your business to that next level because you're adding a different layer on that you're not used to. So definitely get out of your comfort zone, you know, figure out what your work style is, let your employees have their work style, you know, create a very, synergistic culture within your company so that you're able to really grow and everybody feels appreciated.
I love it. In a nutshell, that's some great advice. And it's something we all need to think about when we're thinking about our individual journeys, whether it is in entrepreneurship or working, you know, at a corporation. What are some things that you would recommend or things that you've seen? Because I know you've been taking off during the pandemic. I mean, your business has been taking off like crazy. What are some things that you see as trends during this time that you think will carry over into the future? Like, do you think it'll be more remote working? You're going to an office, but a lot of your team is all over, right? So how is that going to change the way that people think about business and the way that we operate business? And even thinking about getting, people aren't dressing up anymore, but you can still look nice if you're going to be on calls. You still want to look professional. You always look beautiful when you're doing it. You always have your lipstick, your makeup, your earrings are perfect.
Well, and thank you so much for saying that. The one thing that I'm going to say is this, is the visual will always be there, right? Whether the visual is going to be there through Zoom or online or whatever platform, the visual is still going to be there. So the biggest thing I think that is going to be the biggest trend for business is getting your visuals together. Mm-hmm. Like, businesses are going to have to take the extra time, money, and effort to put themselves in the right light when it comes to how the public sees them, right? So part of what even our business has pivoted to is now offering media services. Mm-hmm. So we have InStyle Media, which now those same fashion and beauty entrepreneurs that maybe right now only have a website, well, guess what? What about a commercial,
right?
Exactly. Let's get an actual brand commercial done so that people can see and understand your brand even further.
Yep.
You won't, I mean, 30 seconds in a commercial is like, you could, what somebody never understood about your business can be told in 30 seconds
in a commercial. Yeah,
100%. Right? So, absolutely. So it's, I see now where the commercials, advertising, visuals, graphics, all of that are going to be the kind of things that businesses are going to have to invest time and money in. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to know that that is top notch at all times, because we're all still, that's how we learn. That's how we view the world. We need to see it, right?
Yes.
So we need to see it, hear it, because what we don't have anymore is the ability to stand in front of something and pick it up and touch it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. You don't have that. So now everything has to be explained descriptively,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be in a way where people understand. I mean, even to something like my earrings, on descriptors online, I have to be more descriptive, right? For people to understand what it is that they're purchasing. We've all had those purchases where we've received something in the mail and we're like, what was that? That isn't the same as what I thought it might be. We've all had those moments, mm-hmm. right? So you want to have your business in such a place where it's descriptive. People know who you are. Your personality is coming out behind the brand. Business owners, you're not going to be able to hide behind your computer 100%. You're going to have to be able to come out and let people know who you are, what you do, what you're about. I believe that the dollars that people are spending on products and services mm-hmm. is going to be more tightly held, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to want to know who it is that they're spending.
Who are they supporting? Absolutely.
Who are they
especially
supporting?
Considering all the other issues that have come up and that people are really realizing things like domestic violence, trafficking, you know, the economy tanking. There's so many things like that that are negatives. And then there's so many things that are negatives that are turning into hopefully positives. Like, how do we talk to each other? How do we look at each other? How do we understand each other's stories and use that to build a better world? And I do think that that's a really important part of somebody's branding in their businesses is what, as a business, are you doing to make the world better? How are you showing up? How are you explaining that? And how are you creating that beauty?
Yeah.
And with, you know, what's the company's give back strategy?
Yeah.
You know, that's something that we've talked about quite a bit. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of things that are in the works right now, because those are all things that are very important to the brand. Domestic violence awareness, even looking at mental health issues,
mm-hmm.
Even looking into a lot of the education reform.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I mean, oh, yeah. I had a great interview the other day with Courtney. I can't remember his last name right now.
Oh, Woodruff.
But, oh, yes, Courtney Woodruff. About the Be Smart initiative.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to hear about that because I've always been one to say that it's not that kids want to drop out of high school or are not interested because they don't see, like, education as being good. They don't understand the value of it because they don't see how it correlates to their life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can give kids more of an idea of the kind of careers that are available outside of what I say, the community helper careers, right?
Yeah.
So outside of just being a doctor, nurse, dentist, teacher, but what are all of these other career paths?
Yeah, exactly.
And what are all the behind the scenes type things that can be done? Just in the entertainment industry alone, every day I learn like 6 new job titles. I'm like, oh, there's somebody that does that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's great. So just imagine if a kid who's very interested in this could know that, well, I could get behind the scenes on this because I know how to do this. And they connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
Like when that moment happens and they see that, it's like light bulbs everywhere. And you just see like the growth. Now this kid who never wanted to go to school will actually see value in showing mm-hmm. up and going to that class that they hate because they know that class that they hate is going to take them to this other class that will help them to get to this career that they want to get to.
Yeah.
So education reform is a huge topic of mine, you know, along, like I said, with domestic violence and mental health issues,
mm-hmm.
just so that we're really creating a cohesive society that is going to really help kids and families be able to achieve success.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I can't wait to see what you roll out next on all of those issues too. I can see, I can actually visualize all the different things that can happen to help in those areas and help even help kids learn about the jewelry industry, the entertainment and the jewelry industry, right? And all of the different career paths that you can have. Well, this has been great. Is there anything that you'd want to leave with our audience? Where can we find you? Any last words, words of wisdom?
So my biggest thing that I can say to everybody out there is just never give up. No matter what it is that you're doing right now, just don't give up. Never give up on your dream. I wouldn't be sitting here right now if I had decided to throw in the towel after talking with that investor and he burst my bubble, right? No, I mean, you have to just never give up and just keep on moving forward. If you would like to reach out to me, you can find me on Instagram at Clearly Kristen, and that's with a K. And that's K-L-E-A-R-L-Y, Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N. You can also find me on Facebook at Clearly Kristen and also at Kristen Fenrick. And my last name is F-E-N-R-I-C-K. So it's K-R-I-S-T-E-N, F-E-N-R-I-C-K. You can also find me at KristenFenrick.com, InStyleFashion.com, InStyle Media, and www.clearlykristen.com.
Yeah, so you can get a dose of business inspiration, buy some jewelry on the way.
Yes, absolutely. I even do business consulting with people. So that is something that actually my team is transitioning to start taking over some of that. But, you know, you never know. You could get me on the phone.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This is great. And I appreciated having you on the show. And thank you to all the listeners listening to Women Acquiring Assets. And we will be back next week.
Well, that's it for this episode. To learn more about who we are and what we do, visit www.womeninflectionpoint.org/WAA. If you have anything you'd like to share, Annika would love to hear from you. And she can be reached at info@womeninflectionpoint.org. Be sure to tune in every week for another episode and learn more about how financial assets are a store of resources that women and families can tap into, particularly during emergencies, and how wealth can provide a nest egg that can be leveraged into investments like a home, an investment property, or a business, and then can be passed on to future generations. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.